Scripture this evening will be coming from 2 John verses 10 and 11. 2 John 10 and 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
Why have Vacation Bible School? I had a sermon prepared for tonight and forgot to tell Jack I changed it, but that's okay. It's always good to have scriptures read. Been thinking about Vacation Bible School all afternoon, and why do we have it? You ever sit and ask that question or try to figure it out? I mean, honestly, why do we put on or have, or host, or go to the trouble, however you want to word that, why do we have Vacation Bible School? Well, it's one reason only. Children. We have Vacation Bible School for children. And we have taken it here at Trezvan, and we have included our teenagers, and our young adults, and our adults, and I think that is great, but I also think that we need to focus our attention on children. Found a few stories today as I was looking through my files on Vacation Bible School. I want to share a couple with you. Number one, a mother asked her son, "What did you learn in Vacation Bible School today?" He said that God created the world in 11 days. She said, "But that's wrong." He said, "Well, in that case, I didn't learn anything." Another Sunday school teacher asked, "What do you learn from the story of Jonah and the whale?" A little girl said, "We learn that people make whales sick." A youngster went home after Vacation Bible School and said to his father, "Today we heard a wonderful story from the Bible." The teacher said the Jews were chased out of Egypt by Egyptian tanks. When they came to the Red Sea, the Jews saw the Egyptian tanks coming after them, so they built a bridge and went over safely. But when the Egyptians kept coming, they blew it up with an atomic bomb, and the Egyptians were destroyed. And the father said, "Did the teacher really tell you that story that way?" He replied, "No, but if I told you the way he did tell that story, you would never believe it." We have an opportunity to impact young people's lives. I say this every year. And I'm going to say this, and I've said it to the elders, and I probably said it from the pulpit. If we're having Vacation Bible School so we can check it off a list, let's not go to the trouble. That's my honest opinion. If we're having it just to say we had it, let's don't do it. So I tell you what I think about Vacation Bible School. I think it's more important than our gospel meetings. I think it's more important than our annual singing that we have here. I think it's more important than just about any effort that we do in this community is our Vacation Bible School. Because so many young people today are not having an opportunity or a chance to learn about God, to attend church services anywhere, and have any relationship with anything to do religiously. Now, I'm not saying gospel meetings are not important, but we'd all have to admit, if we were honest, that gospel meetings have shifted over the years. Gospel meetings used to be to evangelize. It used to be that we went out in our communities and we had tent revivals and we had two-week-long meetings. And people would come every night and the house would be full. And honestly, gospel meetings today, not that we don't want people to come, but it's mainly for faithful Christians. It's for Atwood or Skullbone or McKenzie or other neighboring congregations to come here and support us. And then in turn, what we do is we go support them. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm not condemning it, so don't get on to me. But that's really what we've done with gospel meetings today. It's a time that dedicated or faithful Christians come together, all, and we do it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights. So we do it that way. But think about for just a minute tonight our vacation Bible school. It's not going to be very long. But I've had it on my mind all day because after a meeting this morning, things are running through my head. And this is all coming from the heart. And in a couple weeks, I will have completed 5 years here. And I've been blessed every Sunday and every day and every year that you let me keep staying here. But y'all that's been here know me, know most of the time I say what's on my mind. And it comes from my heart, and hopefully you know it's out of love. But we've got to encourage our young people, even our young people here. Our classes are getting smaller. Our young people don't come as regular as they did. I don't know that we've lost that many young people. I don't know. But we've got to get out in this community. And one of the best ways for us to grow is to grow through young people. If every one of us will take the opportunity and take on the responsibility that Vacation Bible School has the opportunity to provide, this house will be full. We did it several years ago. We were excited about it. We had people, we had you bringing carloads of people here, dropping them off at the door, and we were worried about where are we going to put all these young people in these classrooms. And it boils down to our work. It boils down, are we willing to do that? This morning we had a discussion in our meeting about how many classes to have, and we started thinking about, not condemning anybody here, this, it's reality. We started thinking about our own young people, so our thought process went to this. Well, we've got Ella. Then we go to Callie. And then we started naming our kids, and we said we don't have very many in that age group, therefore we're going to do this. And I understand why somebody would say that. But let's think about it like this for a minute. Let's say we got one that's Ella's age, one at Callie's age. Why don't we go and find more people that's Ella's age and more people that's Callie's age and get them in here for Vacation Bible School? Why don't we go out and pull and invite and encourage young people to come here? After all, folks, we're speaking the truth. The church is the foundation. We are the pillar and ground of truth. And we need to be the people that go out and bring them in. There's three things I want you to think about Vacation Bible School. Number one, that we need to be teaching our young people. I say young people is the main reason for Vacation Bible School, but there's a things about Vacation Bible School and teaching our children, not just being here, not just giving them a hot dog or ice cream cone. I think there's three things we teach our young people. Number one, we teach them about love. And that's the number one thing. I don't care what the subject is that we put in front of you or whoever puts in front of you and you go into that classroom, whether you're talking about Jonah or whether you're talking about Moses or whether you're talking about Jesus or John, or let's go all the way down the list. No matter who you're talking about from the Bible, there's three things we need to instill in all young people's mind. And number one is we have to be loving. We need to love. The Bible over and over and over again talks about love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." That's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful for each one of us to think about that if we don't love, we don't know God. And he goes on to tell you why. Why is that? Anybody turn there? God is what? He is love. And if we don't love, then we don't know God, because God is the definition of love. And the first thing we've got to instill in our young people's minds is that is love. Not going to read it. We all know the story in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, the prodigal son. This morning we talked about overcoming anger, and we talked about several things. But think about the story of the prodigal son, really. What is the story of the prodigal son about? If you had to say that in one word, what would it be? It would be love. It would be love. At some point, the prodigal son had been instilled in his mind that of family love. How much that his father loved him. How important family was. And the father loved him that much. And even though this young person went off the deep end and he wandered away and he done all the bad things we know that he did, and then he come back, you know the one thing that he was hoping for more than anything else? Was that love was still there. You can go to the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." I looked up the words "God is love" 74 times in the New Testament. A combination of "God is love." Surely that tells us how important love really is. But you know, love is a two-way street. It's not enough just for God to love us. We have got to love him. And part of our love back to him is found in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Dedicate yourself. Dedicate yourself to Vacation Bible School and showing love. The second thing we need to teach our young people: number one was loving. Number two is listening. You got to teach your young people to listen. They got to understand. They got to hear and understand what God is teaching us. It's not the same thing if we're reading the Mad Magazine or reading some kind of book or storybook at home to our children. They may doze off to sleep. They may jump from thing to thing. But somewhere in this process, at different age levels, it's different. But somewhere in this process, whether we're talking about J. Cruz, when we were walking in tonight, I kept saying "Bible." I said, "Where's the Bible? Where's the Bible?" And he would pat the Bible, and I'd make him say "Bible." Now, he pointed fingers at Greg and David and everybody else as they come by, but I kept saying, "No, J. Cruz, where's the Bible?" Force ain't a good word. I think you know what I mean, though. We teach our kids to listen. On whatever level it is. And that's what Vacation Bible School does for people. I'm not talking about our young people necessarily. I'm talking about all the ones we're going to bring. We teach these young people to listen. And how important it is and what it means. Illustration I found. After a sermon, the small boy asked his father what a minister did all week. Now this does not apply to me if you think this is going south. I'm busy all the time. After a sermon, the small boy asked his father what the minister did all week. His father said, "A minister is very busy." Maybe this was about me. There's much church work that has to be done. He has to visit the shut-in people, and he has to go to the hospital, visit and pray for those who are sick or having surgery. He talks to people who have problems. He must pray for a lot of people. And of course, he must spend quite a bit of time preparing his sermon for the next Sunday. Talking in public is hard work. The little boy said, "Listening ain't easy either." Listening is learned. It's learned. I can remember when I was a young child at Atwood. Brother Reeves, Brother Penny, and others, when I was a young age, I might have got my ear pulled, thumped in the back of the head, hair jerked, head turned around or something. But I was taught. I was taught that when that man was up there speaking, that we were quiet and we listened to what he had to say. That's how I was taught. And I think that's something to that. Because at the end of the day, this is not a sporting event. This is not entertainment. This is not going to the movies or the skating rink or wherever we go. This is coming to the house of God. And it's worshiping God. Old boy's law. You don't learn anything the second time you get kicked by the mule. We ought to learn something the first time. Third thing I think we get out of Vacation Bible School, and I'm going to close. We teach them about loving, we teach them about listening, and mainly we're going to teach them about living, how to live. Dale, just about every time he prays, and others, he'll get up and he'll pray about our country, he'll pray about our leaders, and he'll pray about the direction our country is going. And oh, how we need that prayer. But we also need to be teaching our young people how to live. And that is the opportunity we have at Vacation Bible School. James 1 and verse 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word so that you deceive yourself. Do what it says." Do what it says. Listen to the word of God and do exactly what it says. One Sunday when the family was going home after church, the dad criticized the sermon. The daughter criticized the congregational singing, and the mother criticized the way that the service was organized. But everyone had to be quiet after the little boy in the family said, "But it was a pretty good show for a nickel." What are we putting into it? So easy to say it's not working. Everybody can say, "I wouldn't have done that." I can say that after it gets done. Ain't a time in my life I messed up I can't look back and say, "Well, I wish I hadn't done that." That's hindsight's 20/20. But what are we putting into it? What we need more than anything else in this congregation is everybody to work together. And everybody to want this Vacation Bible School to be the very best that it can be. For the very reasons I think that I pointed out tonight. You may disagree with me. But I think for the very reason I talked about tonight is why we got, I don't know how many weeks it is, a few more weeks before we have an opportunity to share the love of God to however many people we can get in this building. And we do that from the people that's giving them ice cream cone to the very ones that's in the classroom teaching them. It takes every one of us. I'm excited. I may not be smiling right now, but I can. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about you, though. I'm excited about the work here. Wendy and I talk about y'all all the time in a good way. Talk about you in a good way. I can sit at home in my recliner. I can start right over here in front of this auditorium, and I can run this auditorium down, back up, and back down. And I know where you're at. I know where you're sitting, and I know when you're missing. But I'm excited about us. I'm excited about what we can do. We just got to do it. We got to do it. I love y'all. I really do. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, become a child of God tonight. Through your faith, your willingness to change, to turn from sin, to confess that Jesus is Lord, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, you need the prayers of the church, we pray that you will make that decision. But if you're here tonight and you're thinking about working hard for God, make up your mind that we're going to. And let's do it. And let's start it tonight while together we stand and sing.